most men think women are crazy, flaky, unpredictable. If she says something stupid, people applaud. The hotter they are, the flakier they are. And didn't matter what I did. Didn't matter how, like, I tried to confirm the date, be funny, send cool texts. It didn't matter. It's really kind of in their best interest to never say yes to anything and to just simply decide what they're going to do at like 9 p.m. I would never agree to anything socially because a better option would come along that night. They respect a guy who doesn't put up with their shit and who doesn't put them on a pedestal. And if you just remain cool and position yourself as a guy who has a job but isn't thirsty, it's going to work. Welcome to the Leverage Podcast, where we give you men's dating advice that doesn't suck. I'm your host, Robbie Kramer, a personal growth junkie and dating coach for over 15 years. Tune in each week to learn the latest and greatest strategies to get more dates, make yourself more attractive and confident with the opposite sex, in order to meet your perfect 10 and design a lifestyle that makes all your buddies jealous. If you're a regular listener and digging our content, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever you watch this or listen. But if you don't feel like it's worthy of 5 stars, just go ahead, don't leave any review at all, and that'd be great. If you're new to the show, I recommend you download my free dating protocol, which will help you optimize your first dates. I like to connect with my listeners personally, so send me a message on Instagram, say hi, and I'll send you over that PDF to download. You can find me on Instagram at Robbie_Kramer, that's R-O-B-B-I-E _K-R-A-M-E-R. So before we dive into this week's content, I want to let you guys know we've opened up a few slots in our exclusive mastermind program called the Leverage Program. We're accepting applications. If you want to join our select group of men and experience the radical power of accountability, stop procrastinating on your goals, cross everything off your sexual bucket list, become a beast who gets more stuff done. To learn more and apply, go to innerconfidence.com/leverage. Hot female psychology decoded. So most men think women are crazy, flaky, unpredictable, but what I'm hoping to convince you is that they're actually incredibly predictable and somewhat reliable. That's kind of the thesis that I want you guys to walk away from. So let's talk about what a hot chick experiences once she turns like 14, 15 years old, when she's, you know, 16, whatever, when once she kind of develops. Like, a hot girl basically starts to learn that almost nobody says no to her. Everyone is constantly kissing up to her. If she says something stupid, people applaud. Very rarely are they ever told no. Very rarely are they put in their place. Very rarely are they hit with like an ounce of reality, because everyone's trying to fuck them all the time. And the majority of guys are trying to fuck them by bragging about some shit they do, how much money they have, you know, taking her out to a fancy dinner over a glass of wine and trying to impress her with his art collection, right? Like, these women kind of live in this bubble of their own reality because everyone is just constantly trying to hook up with them. So what that creates for them is a ridiculous filtering problem, right? Like, their goal is to quickly establish which guys are real and which guys are phonies. And given that 99 point whatever percentage of guys are phony and not interesting, like show-offs or braggers or whatever, it's a difficult thing for them. So what they have to develop is to basically turn into ridiculously flaky, unreliable, and then they get the labels of bitchy, cunts, you know, horrible people. But this is kind of like a function of our society. Like, if hot women didn't operate like that, they just wouldn't be able to kind of operate in general. So when guys, like, I work with guys all the time and they're like, girls are so flaky, what the fuck, this is that. I'm like, yeah, that's built in. That's always going to be the case. And the more, like, the hotter they are, the flakier they are, the more of like a bitch she'll kind of seem like. But what that allows you to do, once you kind of understand that, it allows to work in a much better way. So what I noticed when I was starting to get better was that anytime I got a date with a girl I was really excited about, she usually flaked. And didn't matter what I did. Didn't matter how, like, I tried to confirm the date, be funny, send cool text. It didn't matter. They usually flaked at a rate of 50% or greater. And I started thinking, I'm like, why, what are they flaking on me for? What are they doing? Like, well, so first of all, why the fuck would they go out with me, right? That a guy they met on Tinder or a guy they met on Day Game, when at the last minute, they get invited out to a cool event by a girlfriend or a promoter or by someone that they already know in their social circle, right? They're going to flake on that date close to 100% of the time just because there's no familiarity, right? You're always going to default to who you already know before a random new guy. So there's really, like, if you're using a traditional dating funnel that is online dating, Day Game or Night Game, and you are lucky enough to meet a hot girl, the odds of her not flaking on that first date are fucking very, very slim. Extremely slim. Which is shitty, you know, but like there's nothing we can really do about that, right? Like, no matter what we do, it's very difficult to do anything about it, which is why switching to a social circle funnel is so much better, because now you're the one who they're flaking on. You know, and that's just the world they live in. So I found that, like, I could occasionally get lucky with a really hot girl, like an 8+ on, like, one of my first dating app wins was a girl I met on JDate. This is even before Tinder came out. And we met on JDate, had an awesome first date, ended up, like, getting into a relationship after a series of dates. But the only reason she went out with me in the first place is she had just broken up with her boyfriend. Her mom was like, you know, you need to get out back out there. Why don't you start a profile on JDate and meet a nice Jewish boy? Like, being the Jewish mom, right? She did that. And I was the first date she got, like, just lucky, right place, right time. And then when I look at the other hot girls that I hooked up with in my life, it was always the same story, whether that was Day Game, Night Game, whatever. It was always just right place, right time. The girl I told the Minnie Mouse story about in the beginning, she had just broken up with her boyfriend and was on the rebound. So really the only way to get a smoke show is to just kind of get lucky when they're on the rebound, you're in the right place, the right time. If you're approaching all the time and hunting, you can do that a decent percentage of the time, right? It'll happen. But having any sort of consistency with top tier women is virtually impossible when you're hunting because of that flake rate. Like, it's just out of control. And it doesn't really do any good to get upset with women about it. Like, it just, they have to be like that. It's just what they do. You know, it seems like they have zero integrity, but it's actually the integritous way to go. So I started experiencing this when I started really crushing my social circle in Kiev. I realized, like, I would never agree to anything socially because a better option would come along that night. Like, if a girl wanted to hang out or if XYZ was happening, I'd always just be like, maybe, 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 because I realized I was flaking on people all the time because I never knew when I'd get a text from a buddy saying, like, hey, after party at Domic, you know, we're going to this club. And then after that, we're going here. Like, when you're really connected socially, which every hot chick is, every hot chick has a pussy pass, right? She's constantly being hit up by promoters, millionaires asking her to go on yachts. If she lives in Miami or somewhere like that, fucking forget it. Like, it's just a game of who's got the biggest yacht, right? And they're turning down yacht offers all the time. Like, it's stupid. Just the options available to a hot girl, it's really kind of in their best interest to never say yes to anything and to just simply decide what they're going to do at like 9 p.m., right? So... and the more sort of connected a girl is in this world, like, if once she hits, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, she starts going to clubs, she's going to be quickly sort of integrated into this culture, and that's just how she's going to operate. You know, so women know this, and they can quickly tell, like, whether or not, like, you're the type of guy that's going to put up with their bullshit or not. And it's very hard to get around that. So that's kind of the first thing, is understand their flakiness, try to get an understanding for where they're coming from. And we need to keep that in mind, you know, while we're dating. We need to do everything we can to sort of appear to them like we're familiar versus unfamiliar. So women also, because they're constantly having their dick sucked, they respect a guy who doesn't put up with their shit and who doesn't put them on a pedestal. why does being put on a pedestal such a problem? Immediately, if she feels like she has this, she's in this amazing place with you that is not warranted because she hasn't done anything other than looking hot, she's going to think that you're obviously a loser, and that's going to fail. They want a guy to tell them no. They want a guy to not put up with their bullshit. They want a guy who has other options. So if you're not creating this competition anxiety, that's the tough part, is they're going to test you constantly, right? And you've got to be able to decide whether this is a test or something else. I want to kind of circle back to what I talked about earlier, fuck boy versus players being a man whore. So has anyone seen Jim Jeffries, The Difference Between Sluts and Studs? It's a hilarious little 5-minute bit in one of his stand-up routines. Jim Jeffries is a stand-up comedian. And he talks about how it's really easy for a woman to be a slut. You can have slutty dwarves, right? But it's really hard for a man to be a slut or a stud, right? He says to be a stud, you got to have a fake job. You got to be a smooth talker. You got to have charisma. You got to have all these things, right? So it's really actually difficult to be a stud. But our culture, well, now it's kind of changing, but our culture tries to pretend that like men who are sluts are also bad. You know, they say we have Peter Pan complexes, we have this, we have that. But if you look at every romance novel, what is the plot of every romance novel? It's the same fucking thing. And literotica is downloaded and consumed more than internet porn, believe it or not. So every romance novel has the same theme. There's some guy, he's really attractive, right? But he's also broken, and he has a shitload of women throwing themselves at him. He might be broken because he's a sex addict, maybe, or he's broken in some way. They can't get into him emotionally. And the woman who wins him over and gets him to change his lifestyle and who fixes him and then makes him like this perfect man, that's 50 Shades of Grey. That's every fucking romance novel out there. So basically, what is that saying? It's every woman wants to basically turn a male stud into a good guy, right? So if you're not basically presenting yourself, you don't have to throw it in their face, but if you don't present yourself as a guy with a lot of options, they're probably hot girls just aren't going to be interested in the first place, because they want to compete. Women want to compete. When they cheat on you, right? Why are they cheating? Does anyone have any ideas? So a woman will cheat on you if she's not getting some need met in the relationship, right? And that can be a very vague term. But if your status is lower than another perceived man that she could be with and she has access to, and she's young, a lot of the time she's going to level up. There's a term for this in the red pill community. But it's basically that women are constantly trying to date up, hypergamy. And my comment to hypergamy is, why the fuck shouldn't they, right? Like, why should a woman not be hypergamous or hypergamous, however you say it? Like, why shouldn't she go after her best possible option? She fucking should, right? So if you want to date 10s, like, you need to make yourself a 10, right? That's kind of the idea behind this. It's like, you need to get to a place where the women who are hypergamists are choosing you. And like I said earlier, if they want to find a guy, like, it's way better to be a fuckboy than a player. A player is a guy who, like I said, like, tries to dangle the relationship carrot, while a fuckboy just has infinite options and the woman has to chase and compete. A couple stories to kind of drive this home. So one thing in the Maldives that was really interesting that happened. So Christina was the girl that I thought was the hottest on the boat. Obviously, she was my flavor, tall brunette. And this is on that first Maldives trip. The first night, I started chatting with her, and I was more interested in her than all the other girls. And we spent like 2 or 3 hours on the front of the boat, which was kind of like this isolated area. Just kind of talking. We were making out a little bit, but she was kind of coy about letting that go any further. And that's kind of like where it ended. And then the next few days, I noticed that she really like wasn't that interested in me. And she started being interested in Liam, which of course drove me crazy. So rather than get upset, because I really wanted her more than any other girl, rather than get upset, I'm just like, whatever. I'm just going to go fucking full throttle fuckboy. So that next night, we started playing Spin the Bottle on the top deck. And I started like orchestrating Spin the Bottle Truth or Dare, which is a game I'm going to talk about tomorrow. And started orchestrating, you know, girls to make out with other girls and do this and do that. And pretty quickly that escalated into, you know, people getting horny. So I took one girl down into my room and I told some other people to follow us. It was part of the dare. It was basically like, someone was like, I dare you guys to fuck. And I'm like, okay, who wants to watch? So I took one girl down while like basically everyone watched. And I just went to town smashing this girl while a bunch of people watched, but it then turned into a little orgy. And I was noticing Christina like looking and like staring daggers at me, like, what the fuck? I thought you liked me. And I'm just like, man, well, there you go. Full blown. And just ignored her for like the next few days. And Liam started giving her more love. And at one point he tried to like find her and give her a French breakfast, which is like go down on her in the morning. and when he like sought her out and tried to do that, she kind of got turned off. And then she literally came into the room like after that. I had just finished fucking one of her friends. And she goes, I've decided I'm going to fuck you, Robbie, later. And like points, I'm going to fuck you later. And she points at me. I was like, "What?" Okay, my plan worked. But I thought that was so interesting because when I chased her, nothing worked. But when I was just blatantly banging other girls in front of her and not giving a fuck, it worked because Liam started chasing her instead. So that's like, women are so predictable. If you make them compete, they'll chase you. If you chase them, they'll probably lose interest. So if you're ever feeling like you're in a situation where you're chasing a girl, you probably are, and you're probably setting yourself up to get fucked, right? So you might ask, well, how do you ever be happy in a relationship? Well, hopefully you find someone who's sane and who's not constantly trying to validate themselves with new dick and that sort of thing. But what I do in my marriage is I always make, like, Maria always knows I have other options because I'm an attractive guy and I'm never chasing her. So you never want to chase for sex. You always want to be the one sort of choosing yes or no, because you're basically being the opposite of every other guy. Another interesting story, we were at a party, another birthday party. We rented a villa in Greece and we flew in. I think there was 7 or 8 guys, 16 to 21 girls kind of going in and out. One of the guys named Sergio, he was a member of Leverage, and he was also like, he was like our intern or driver. He would pick the girls up from the airport in the van. It was a 5-hour drive from the airport to like this remote, island in the western coast of Greece. And he would drive the girls. And also a couple dating coaches came to that event who like paid to be there. And those guys made all the classic rookie mistakes that guys make when they're thrown in this environment. They started hitting on the girls. And talking to the girls and like, you know, trying to have these conversations. Whereas Sergio didn't do any of that. Sergio just drove them. And then the weed dealer at one point showed up and Sergio ended up fucking 2 of the girls. The weed dealer ended up fucking 2 of the girls and these other dating coaches didn't get laid. So like you're better off a lot of the time. Like if the ratio is working for you, the girls are going to get horny. Right. And if you just remain cool and position yourself as a guy who has a job but isn't thirsty, it's going to work. But as soon as you get thirsty, you're probably not going to get laid, or you're going to get laid by the least desirable girls there. So let's talk about beautiful men. So what goes on with like a really beautiful guy and how does this sort of affect them? Well, it's very easy for a woman to get laid. But even if you're a really good looking guy, it's not necessarily easy for you to get laid at a young age, unless the girls aren't that hot, right? Because what I've seen over and over, the best looking guys I know are usually dating girls who are like a 6 or a 7. You know, obviously sometimes you see like a 10 with a 10, but more often than not, my really, really good looking buddies who never developed that game, or who just like kind of, you know, like got in a relationship at an early age, like they're usually with a girl who's like a 6 or a 7. And the reason why is because these girls, like they want validation, just like I wanted validation from, you know, a 9 or a 10 to make me feel like I wasn't like a golf nerd or dork anymore. these women who are sixes or sevens, they want sexual validation from a really hot guy too, right? But that's kind of the misnomer. When girls are young, they want validation from hot guys, right? But then once they get older, they realize like, oh, hot guys are actually not that cool. They usually suck in bed because they're lazy and they've never had to learn that. And they just kind of like graduate from hot guys and then they go for status, right? So if you're a really good looking guy, you're going to clean up in high school. You're going to probably going to do okay in college. But once you get past college, like you're irrelevant. You still need to learn all this stuff or you're going to be, you know, just ending up with a girl who just wants you for her own sexual validation, who's not that hot. Because no 9 or 10 gives a fuck about her own sexual validation for the most part, right? She might have daddy issues and that sort of thing, but that's a kind of a different story. And so that's kind of my last point is, does cold approach and online work for 8 pluses? Which I guess I already talked about that. And the answer is only if it's right place, right time. So most of the time, no. And that brings me to my all-time favorite graph ever. So I first saw this graph when I was 32 years old, and you can see what happens at 33. You hit the ultimate of player zone. And so basically what this is female access to dick versus male access to pussy by age. And you got age on the x-axis, you've got access on the y-axis, right? So as you see, once a girl hits like 17, 18, 19, she's never going to be any hotter than that, right? So her access to dick is at a level 10, basically until she hits like 24. She's getting, like I said, hit up by millionaires, offered on yachts, going to this party, going to that. She's got a pussy pass. She can get access to anything, right? And then right around the age of 24, 25, that starts to decline. And as guys, like in our 20s, we're just fucking clueless. We're scrounging around trying to figure out how to make money. Like, you know, we haven't really figured out like how to, a lot of us haven't ever hit the gym. I never even hit the gym until I was like 25, 26 years old. Like I didn't lift weights. I was just kind of like this clueless idiot running around, you know, trying to use some game tactics in my mid 20s. And look at the marriage zone from 27, 28. Look at the difference between the sexual market value of a man versus a woman, right? Women are rapidly declining. Right, their looks are declining, right? And this is obviously a surface level thing because it's just basically taking status on one side of the looks the other, but it's actually the way the sexual marketplace works. And women are smart. They know that they're declining and they better fucking lock a guy down. But most of those poor chumps getting locked down haven't even come close. Like they're still at like a level 5 or 6 axis to hitting their stride. Because right around the age of 32, 33, you start making some money, you start having some, you know, like more wisdom in life, some experience, and you start implementing sort of strategies like this and, you know, surrounding yourself with other guys who are doing the same thing. You're feeling more confident because you're making more money. This graph could not have been more fucking spot on for me and almost for every guy I know, really. Like, and the beauty of this is you can stay in this player zone basically until you're dead. Like it tampers off a little bit, as you see when you get over to like age 50, like up in your 60s, like, you know, but once you turn like 70 or 80 and now you got nursing home pussy, which is a whole nother deal because guys die early. And so what do you have in nursing homes? You got a bunch of horny old ladies. So you can just have your, if you can make it to 80 or 90 years old, you'll just, you know, you'll have the insane harem of grannies. And at that point, maybe your dick won't work or you won't really care and it's all good. But, you know, if you can make it to 90, the harem's awaiting you in that nursing home. But even before then, right, like the access you're going to have by working these strategies is fucking amazing. So don't make the mistake that I did so many times in my 20s, which was get into a relationship that I really had no business being in. Like, you know, I basically went through these stages where I'd improve and then I'd fuck the hottest girl and then I'd try to lock her down and then I'd have like a shitty relationship. I'd stop my improvement. I'd stop growing and then I'd be single again, right? Let's have some people share aha moments and other questions about female psychology or anything we just discussed.
I guess I'll start with share. I may have a couple of questions because I'm thinking of 3 events where I was coordinating and I got lots of positive attention, right? And the first one was for my friend's bachelor party. At the wedding. And I had a girlfriend at the time, which made this even more insufferable because I was coordinating the party for the guys, which took a lot of work. And then I thought, you know what, let's see if I can coordinate a gathering for everyone at the wedding, including like, you know, the bride's friends, right? And so I'm just being social and I go up and, I can't remember. I'm just start talking to her friends. And one of them says, hey, you're really cute. Hey, Beth, you should really hook up with him, right? And like Beth starts blushing. And Beth is the one I consider to be the hottest one of all the friends. And I actually met her a couple of months earlier, and I didn't think there was any interest in me from her. And then I find out later when I get back home from the wedding that pretty much all the friends are like really wanted to hook up with me. Like the bride was like, hey, I have a redhead, a brunette, a blonde with big tits. Like, you know, what do you want to choose here?
Yeah.
And I never really understood why, like, I kind of had the clue, like, oh, well, it's because I have a girlfriend, so I'm unobtainable or whatever, right? Or, because I was showing that I was I wasn't trying to show that I was a leader. I was a leader there. But I guess what you're saying about the social status, like, that's really, since I'm the one coordinating this stuff, like, I was pretty much the highest status guy, outside of the groom, of course.
If you can position yourself to be the leader, women are attracted to the leader, right? So you mm-hmm. position yourself with status, and you get pre-selection to work and competition anxiety, and all the girls are talking about it, it's fucking game over, you know? So you can rig this whole thing. You know, that's all I did is I learned these principles. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to rig the deck in my favor because women are doing it all the time anyways, right? Like women have rigged dating and and they don't want us to know about it, right? And so like, that's why they're always using these shifty terms like, oh, I'm just seeing him. What the fuck does that mean? You're banging him, seeing him, right? Like women are masters at like, you know, using deception and using language and trying to play like they're these innocent, perfect, you know, little flowers where every woman has a fucking rotation. Every single woman. One of my favorite lines in day game is when I have a boyfriend. I say, of course you have a boyfriend. Look at you. You're fucking hot. If you didn't have a boyfriend, I think there's something wrong with you. But I know I also know what you probably also have is a roster. You know what a roster is? A roster is like a guy that are waiting in the wings for you to break up with your boyfriend. And you're probably, you know, you got them listed on there in terms of like highest to lowest. And I'm not asking you to break up with your boyfriend. I wish you the best, but I do want to be on that roster list. How about that? Give me your Instagram. Put me on the roster list. And then I'm on your Instagram and you never know where that'll go. So that's the only line I've ever heard that works well for like, I have a boyfriend. Cause it's the reality of the situation. Like you're just trying to get on that list. So, all right. Who else wants to share? I saw another hand up that went down. We got Matt. Matt, go for it.
Yeah. My aha moment. And I didn't even think about it this way until you were talking about like you and Maria's kind of like sexual dynamic. I did this, it kind of happened naturally in my last relationship because I'm in my 30s and she was 20. So she had a crazy, crazy sex drive, but it always kind of leaned towards her initiating everything. And it really kept everything going. And I see like kind of looking over this towards the end of the relationship when like she started slowing it down in it and I wasn't showing as much interest that the relationship kind of tanked. But I think, and I have noticed that like trying to stay right below them with like their interest and like kind of have them chase a little bit more, even once you're already in the relationship or whatever you have going on, has been very beneficial to me. But kind of like the aha moment was how you said that even in your marriage, you try to keep that dynamic. That's something I'm going to focus on more within these relationships, is try to make it so I'm not the one chasing for sex, even though reoccurring sex has already happened.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I forgot to actually talk about that. And it's so important, because at the end of the day, a lot of us want a marriage or a really awesome relationship with an awesome girl. And, you know, you can't let your guard down ever, right? Like the day you stop trying to improve yourself and becoming the best version of yourself is the day you start slipping. And women are fucking like, they have just, they're just going to smell it out. They have whatever sixth sense of like knowing whether or not you're upping your game or you're sliding back, right? So what I'm always looking for while I'm managing my relationship is what's the investment level, right? And what made me so attracted to Maria in the first place was that she was like she was investing at the same rate I was. So it felt like very organic and very natural. We were both like, there wasn't a lot of, there was some push pull, of course, just in the natural dating game, right? And I mentioned some of those things I was doing, like flexing with the office and never inviting her on dates, inviting her on like a trip instead. But there was always just this very organic, simple sort of mutual interest, which turned into love. And our interest level and our investment has always been fucking exactly the same. And that's what makes our relationship so amazing, is we're both equally invested. And if you look at relationships that aren't good, it's because one side's overinvested. And once that starts happening, right, you only have a short period of time before you can adjust and make changes to try to get a balance again. Because once the scale starts tipping, you get to a point of no return. And even if you then try to get that girl back, like you can get your ex back. It takes a long time because you have to basically put her on full ice, go out and live your life, get a bunch of fucking hot women around, get her to see that, and then also get her to like want you back, right? And not be in a relationship. So there's a lot of luck involved too. But then when you do get her back, it's never good. Like I almost never ever hear relationship stories from happy couples where there's some guy who did all this crazy shit to get his ex back and now their life is great. Like, but what I do hear is, yeah, it was just kind of easy and effortless from the beginning. We really clicked. We got married, we had some kids, and here we are. That's what you hear, right? So once it's kind of like damaged, like, you know, once you've, like, another example as I heard is a relationship is like a fine table at a dining restaurant, like a white tablecloth, right? Like, it's okay if a few things spill on it, some crumbs, maybe a little, like, you know, a little stain here or there. But if you spill red wine all over the tablecloth, that fucking tablecloth is finished. You just got to rip the thing off and find a new one, right? So that's kind of how I approach my relationship. I look at the investment level. I make sure that I'm always leveling up and that she knows that I have the ability to go out and get another woman if I needed to or if I wanted to, but I don't. It's not like I'm shoving that shit in her face or doing anything. I'm in a monogamous relationship, which I'm very happy to be in because I don't give a fuck. I'd rather just golf and hang out and work on my business and, you know, and grow that area of my life. So if you know, this stuff, if you have to take this into a relationship, because if you do meet that girl, you know, and you don't stay on top of your game and you don't do the things that got her in the first place, you're fucked. You're going to get left. And that can be really, really bad. If you got kids involved, obviously the financial aspect can ruin you. And if you didn't keep those skills up, now you're older, you've been out of the game, and you got to kind of start from square one. And that's so much fucking harder, right? So I'm glad you brought that up. Thanks for sharing that.
A minor aha moment I had, because like I noticed thinking back that girls have tested me on like whether there were other girls in my life before. Like at one point I was brushing my teeth and I just produced another toothbrush for the girl who was sleeping over. And she's like, oh, you just had that one lying around, huh? And like what I did in those situations is like, oh, I don't see other girls. I see now like what I probably should have done is just winked at her and said, yeah, what are you gonna do about it? Or something like that. But like at least not deny it. So like I know that going forward at least.
Yeah, denying it is bad because then she catches you in a lie, right? Or then she knows she can catch you in future lies. And now you gotta just deny harder. Like I never try to lie because I'm a terrible liar. The truth always comes out and I'm gonna get caught. right? And when I get caught, now I'm a liar and I'm a pussy and I'm all these bad things you don't want to be. So, you know, as long as you're unapologetic, like you can pass most tests like that by just looking at it and being like, stop it. And walking away. It's like, I had a buddy who would do that all the time. His name was Sasha. And he, like, literally, he'd be fucking a girl in a bathroom during a party. This guy was insane. And another girl who he had, like, fucked earlier that day or earlier that night would, like, see him come out. And she'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, man? He'd be like, stop it, stop it. And he'd just walk away. And that was it. Like, I watched him do the stop it in that exact scenario. I'm like, holy shit. That's all it takes. Like, you don't ever want to get in the weeds and say, oh, well, the toothbrush was there, blah, blah, blah. Stop it. Right? So that's obviously not the only way to pass a test like that. But I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, women are gonna test you. They're going to see the shit. They're going to say something. And they're going to see how you handled it. And if you don't need to throw it in their face. You don't need to be like, well, that's another girl that I just fucked. I mean, you could, but... you're more likely to have better luck with her saying that than saying like, oh, it's not mine or it's this or that or the other, right? But like, you get my point, right? Denying it or trying to play it off is never going to work. You got to just kind of own who you are and what you're doing and give less fucks, right? The less fucks you give, the better. So thanks for sharing that. I think we got time for maybe one or two more. So, okay, is it okay to tell your girlfriend you're bored with women already if you want to commit yourself and want her to commit? Wait, you're bored with women already or you're bored with her?
No, not with her. Like, I'm bored with chasing women or with like, okay, like, whatever, let's get the next hot girl. Like, it's fine. Maybe my fuck rate is like not even one tenth of yours, but I'm bored.
Okay, so when I look back on why I needed to do all these crazy things, most of it was because I had a lot of validation that I wanted to get over. Like, I was a nice guy, you know, dorky kid that didn't get laid a lot and had no women like interested in him in middle school. I was like the fat kid. So it was, and you look at like why people go to the extreme and do these things. It's usually because something happened in their childhood where they wanted to feel better. So I wanted to feel like the guy who was awesome with women. And I had heard that from like, you know, a shrink, and I had read that in books. It's like, oh, you're just chasing validation. But I still needed to chase it because I wasn't going to get over it until I felt like I finally validated myself. And then once I finally felt validated, I just didn't care that much anymore. So you want to ask yourself, like, was the reason why you were chasing a validation thing and you got over it? You know, you kind of get it out of your system is another way you hear people saying it. And if that's like, that's how I was feeling when I met Maria, I was just like, you know, it wasn't as nearly as fun anymore to have a new girl in my bed or have a threesome or, you know, whatever. It just wasn't as cool, wasn't as interesting. And I you know, she could kind of tell. Like, I never said that like directly to her. I never said, oh, I want a relationship. Like, you know, but we just kind of by hanging out and hooking up, I could just tell that that's where things were going. So usually having like these frank talks about what you want or what you're looking for, again, you're telling versus showing. My kind of mantra with a lot of this stuff is you want to show versus tell. Show what you want, show who you are. And that speaks a lot more words than whatever's coming out of your mouth.
Okay. Thanks. I kind of get it. Thank you.
Okay. Cool. I didn't totally understand the question, but hopefully that hopefully that kind of makes sense. So let's go.
So yeah, I've noticed two other events. One is like a going away party. I got good attention from a girl I was attracted to, wasn't sure about it before. And then another one was when I was doing my trip through Eastern Europe, you know, that first time I was telling you about that with my brother, and just randomly meeting these girls at a hostel. but I met one who seemed to be open, and another one is I saw these other two girls talking, and so I brought them in the conversation. And then so I started like creating this social group of not knowing anyone. And then on our way to a club in Vienna, there's these, I don't know, six random German girls that just randomly came up to us and started talking and invited us to join them at the club they were going to, right? How do I put this? So I'm pulling all this. I'm trying to make this.
Well, yeah. You saw how much easier it was to get girls when you had girls.
Yes. Yes. Or just even like the going away party. It was a mixed group, but I was in the mindset of just making sure that we all had like creating fun, like having something fun to go to. And like social fun, not just like, hey, you know, play video games or something like that, like creating some sort of mini party or just fun for everyone to go to. And it just seems like I was drawing all this attention I never really expected. Like,
but when you're out,
so my question is, you know, like what's your mindset on? Is it like, is it about creating fun for everyone, or is this something more strategic? Like, hey, let me see if I can rig the ratios, or like talk to as many people as possible, and you know, really get that group up to a certain size. I was just like the theory and the strategy behind that.
Right. So strategy versus tactics is another way to say that. So So first, when it comes to strategy or theory, always be offering value, like Ford mentioned earlier, right? If you give everyone a good time and your goal is to make other people have fun, it's going to pay off in spades, right? And then more of the tactics around how to do that and how to make sure that's good is, yeah, that's when you get into like the ratio stuff and controlling that. But what you're kind of talking about is, you know, you're out in a sort of social environment where people are like at a bar or a club. Like everyone who's at a bar or a club, is they're always looking for who's having the most fun in that environment, because everyone wants to be with the fun people, right? And my whole goal, like when I would first go out to clubs, I'd be like the guy at the bar trying to shark around and trying to meet girls. That didn't work very well. But when I then started taking girls to the club, getting a table, having a great ratio at the table, it was so easy to pull other girls because they would see us having the most fun. And when a girl is like walking by and she sees you having so much fun, you can just literally grab her hand and like pull her into your table. Like it's that easy to meet women when you have women and when you're having fun. So when you're in this pickup hunter mentality, it's just so difficult versus if you do the legwork beforehand and you kind of understand these concepts, then when you do go out to a club, it's fucking fishing with dynamite. It's stupid. It's like one way where you're guaranteed to get success. Like we did this in the Berlin immersion. We had girls, we got a table behind the DJ booth. Like a bunch of you guys were there. We pulled other girls to the table, created the biggest scene and party within the party. And then we orchestrated an after party, brought them all back to Ford's house, and a bunch of people fucked. So like having girls gets you girls, not having girls and having the mindset of hunting and chasing keeps you cock blocked always. So. Thanks for sharing that, Max. Hopefully that answered your question.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.